Hare Krishna. We will read this morning Canto 8, Chapter 19, verse number 22. Is it Trivir Kramaya? 24. Yadrichayo Papanena? Yes. Is it reflect? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadrichayo papanena santushto vatate sukha na santushtastribhiloka ajitajmopasaditai. Yes, please. Thank you. Yadrichaya, as offered by the Supreme Authority according to one's karma. Upappanena, by whatever is obtained. Santushtaha, one should be satisfied. Vartate, there is. Sukam, happiness. Na, not. Asantushta, one who is dissatisfied. Tribi lokai,
even by possessing the three worlds.
Ajita atma, one who cannot control his senses. Upasaditai,
even though obtained.
Translation. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the three worlds. Perfect. If happiness is the ultimate goal of life, one must be satisfied with the position in which he is placed by Providence. And this instruction is also given by Prahlad Maharaj. Sukam indriyakam daitya deha yogena dehinam sarvatra labhyate daivat yata sukam ajatnata. My dear friends, this is Prahlad Maharaj instructions, born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. This philosophy is perfect in regard to obtaining happiness. Real happiness is described in Bhagavad Gita. Sukam aityantikam yatat buddhi grayam atindriyam vetiyatra na chayvajam stitas chalatitatvata. This is a very interesting verse. It has convinced many to join the movement of Krishna consciousness. It's a promise. In the spiritually joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses established. Thus, one never departs from the truth. One has to perceive happiness by the super senses. The super senses are not the senses of the material elements. Every one of us is a spiritual being, aham brahmasmi, and every one of us is an individual person. Our senses are now covered by material elements, and because of ignorance, we consider the material senses that cover us to be our real senses. The real senses, however, are within the material covering. Dehinos minyata dehe komaram jovanam jara. Within the covering of the material elements are the spiritual senses. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paradvena nirmalam. When the spiritual senses are uncovered, by these senses we can be happy. Satisfaction of the spiritual senses is thus described. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchyate. When the senses are engaged in devotional service to Rishikesh, then the senses are completely satisfied. Without this superior knowledge of sense gratification, one may try to satisfy his material senses, but happiness will never be possible. One may increase his ambition for sense gratification and even achieve what he desires for the gratification of his senses, but because this is on the material platform, he will never achieve satisfaction and contentment. According to Brahminical culture, now this is a life tip for those established in Brahminical culture, how they go about with satisfaction in their life. According to Brahminical culture, one should be content with whatever he obtains without special endeavor and should cultivate spiritual consciousness. Then he will be happy. The purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to spread this understanding. Be content. Don't make special endeavors, but cultivate your spiritual life. People who do not have scientific spiritual knowledge mistakenly think that the members of the Krishna consciousness movement are escapists trying to avoid material activities. In fact, however, we are engaged in real activities for obtaining the ultimate happiness in life. If one is not trained to satisfy the spiritual senses and continues in material sense gratification, he will never obtain happiness that is eternal and blissful. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.1 therefore recommends Tapo divyam putakayena satvam syodyet yasmat brahma shokyam tvanantam. One must practice austerity so that his existential position will be purified and he will achieve unlimited blissful life. Namo. The verse again is Yadrityo yapapenena santushta vartate sukam na santushtas tribhya lokair ajitat mo pasaditai. The translation: one should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy, even with possessing the three worlds. This verse is an instruction how to obtain happiness. Do you think this is relevant for you? According to psychology, the human being has two inherent tendencies. One is to avoid miseries, and the second is to gain happiness. Do you think this is relevant? Are you a human being? This is very much the driving factor of all conditioned souls. They want to be happy by all means and avoid suffering by all means. A very conditioned soul makes his environment the object of his enjoyment, by denying it its own subjective existence.
Haribol.
What this means in clear German, clear English, is the tendency to enjoy is very strong. On this platform, love is called in Sanskrit Trishna, or thirst. Just like a thirsty man takes water and drinks it without ever thinking if the water would like to be drunken by him or not, a person on a very low level of development will make the world his object of enjoyment without even asking, do you want to be enjoyed by me? A person, for instance, would, in partnerships, will try to make the other partner his servant of enjoyment. Now, as the human being develops from the lower stages of consciousness to the Purna Vikachita Chetana, the fully blossomed state of Krishna consciousness, his concept of love is no longer selfish. His concept of love is he wants to give. He wants to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is all he cares about. This is the Vrindavan consciousness of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This then also is the ultimate form of satisfaction. We must go from Trishna, thirst, that is desperate enjoying, trying to enjoy the material world, to prema, where we satisfy the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a totally unselfish way. And this is a long way, but it is the way of Krishna consciousness. Here, this very well-known verse, which is also quoted by Rupa Goswami in the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is like this. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paradvena nirmalam. When the spiritual senses are uncovered, by these senses we can be happy. Satisfaction of the spiritual senses is thus described, krishikena krishikesha sevanam bhakti uchyate. One does seva to the pure senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What this could mean is very nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada in a purport of the 8th canto. It's about the real purpose of life, that is satisfying the senses of the Lord. The real purpose of life is to go back home, back to Godhead, and live with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Play with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dance with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And eat with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are different items of ananda, spiritual happiness, in spiritual variegatedness. So once we again become reconnected by bhakti with the pleasure of the senses of the Supreme Lord, our real life starts. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the reader is taken through a series of subject matters, and one of them is mukti, or liberation. We as Vaishnavas also have definitions about the Vaishnav liberations, and it very much has to do with spiritual senses engaged in the Supreme Lord's service. For instance, there is Rupa Goswami shloka, Iha Yasya Hare Das Ya Ye Karmana Manasa Vacha Nikilas Vab Yavasta Su Jivan Mukto Sa Uchyate. A liberated soul, a Jivan Mukto, Jivan Mukta, is described as using body, words, and mind in the service of the Supreme personality of Godhead. This is liberation from material existence, to come to the stage where our senses are no longer reaching out for selfish enjoyment, but where they become totally linked up with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, as soon as a person wants to go this way, this path, out of the material world, back home, back to Godhead, Maya will give him trouble. Maya will test him in many, many interesting ways. Lord Kapila says that Maya is, well, I want to first make an analogy really of this. When you are in the prison, do we have prisons in India? There must be terrible prisons. I have heard from Bangkok prisons by German tourists who came back. When you are in a prison, not much attention is given to you. But the moment you want to escape a prison, a lot of attention is given to you. The da-li-da-la, da-li-da-la, da-li-da-la goes on. Big spotlights are focused on you. Watchdogs begin to violently bark and run after you. Armed guards with machine guns are going to try to get you, shoot you in your heels, and so on. This is how Maya also works. When we are working in the material energy, in illusion, and so on, she gives us ordinary treatment. But the moment someone wants to go on this path where he wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whoa, so much Maya is there for him, so much tests, so many desperate moments, nights of darkness enveloping him, challenges to his Shraddha. This is all Maya's insinuation, and she will not sleep. She will become very attentive. In the Matsya Purana, we find a story about Narada Muni asking Lord Krishna, please, can you show me the workings of your Maya? Krishna begins to smile. It is described to be a sad smile. He says, really? Do you want to see my Maya? Yes, says Narada Muni, I'm preaching about it. I need to see how it works. Krishna acknowledges his desires and they continue walking through a dry area, something like a desert. Then Krishna all of a sudden says, I am very thirsty. Please bring me a glass of water. Where should I go, my lord? Go this way. Narada Muni crosses the desert, comes on the bank of a river, and begins to see a settlement. He knocks at three doors, no one opens it, but at the last door, a beautiful woman opens him. The door opens. Welcome! Come in! No. I just want a glass of water, says Narada Muni. No, you have traveled a long time. Just take rest. Sit here. Narada Muni follows the invitation of the beautiful woman, and all of a sudden, in the back door, another door opens in the back, and a man comes out, and he says, you must be Narada Muni. Yes, says Narada Muni. How did you know? Well, there's a prophecy that you would come and marry my daughter. And it's also in the astrological constellation. Saturn is in its 10th house. This was my interpretation. It was. Narada Muni says, well, if it's an astrological constellation and a prophecy, why not? And becomes a family man. Matsya Purana. So after some time, he becomes the leader of the village. The father of his wife dies. He has two children and lives a family life, pious but entangled. After some time, the monsoon rains start in an extraordinary heavy way. Like in Bangladesh, there was a lot of monsoon, and I've heard that Lord Nrisimhadev in Mayapur was covered up till his mouth with water. So much water, we cannot even imagine if we can were not there. So the water was rising, and the whole village tried to escape, and so did Narada Muni. Hare Krishna. Your teachers can tell you how it ends. Hare Bo. Narada Muni tried to jump into a boat. He brought his family into security, but the winds blew and the waves became higher. One wave took away his wife. The second wave took away his son. The third wave took away another son. And finally, the fourth wave was coming, taking the boat as if an offering to Bhairava, the Lord of Death, bringing him higher and higher and higher. Then it went down, crash! The boat split it into pieces, and Narada Muni was tossed into the waves of dissolution. This is how it looked like. Then he was hit unconscious by a rudder, and the last moment before he fainted, he screamed out in anguish, Krishna! Then he was waking up. He had some cloth in his hands, like this, opened his eyes. It was a yellow dhoti. He looked up and looked into the smiling face of the Lord, who asked him, do you know now what is Maya? And by the way, where is my glass of water? So Narada Muni immediately understood. He went the second time through the desert. He came to the same village. The same woman was opening him. Oh, what can I do for you? I just want a glass of water. Is that all? Yes, absolutely all. He took the glass of water, he brought it back to Krishna and said, here, my Lord, is your glass of water. Lord accepted it. And this is the end of the story. So Maya will test also you. Don't think that you are very, very extraordinary and you will not be tested by Maya. You will be severely tested. And the only thing which you have to remember is at that time to bring your glass of water to please the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you, in the midst of the test, forget Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate, that this bhakti is really the endeavor to please the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we are finished. That's the end of our endeavors. Lord Kapila talks about Maya. He says only with the blinking of an eye over the woman, the most powerful man can come under control. Now, if you are in a woman body, you can interchange the words. Even by the powerful flexile of the muscles of a powerful man, one can become totally enraged fall from the transcendental platform. Cupid has five powerful arrows They are called fascinating and stupefying and paralyzing and making you mad. It is very, very, everyone was of us will see Maya attacking in one form or another, either by this physical attraction or by others. What to do in this situation? What should a devotee do who is sincerely trying to overcome the obstacles of the conditioned life? First of all, I feel a devotee needs to practice a little self-realization on the lower platform. Haribol. This is, he needs or she needs to understand very clearly one's position and what is bhakti, what is Krishna consciousness on our level. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains our situation by saying or discussing that a devotee will have some small accidents on the road to full Krishna consciousness. Apichet sudaracharo, and so on. He describes that someone who is engaged on the path of devotion, even if he should fall down from the standard, is still considered to be saintly because he is on the right way. This is a very interesting shloka, and the purport where Srila Prabhupada discusses related subjects is extremely important for a devotee who wants to go the road back home, back to Godhead. See, a devotee in this material world has two types of natures he needs to cope with. One is called the constitutional nature or the spiritual nature. We mean with this being a part of Krishna, a pure soul, an Amrita Putra, a child of immortality, as the Upanishads say. Sachidananda, full of bliss and knowledge in eternity. But the second type of nature is called the conditional nature. It refers to our body, our mind. And although we may try to have no problems from this conditional side, it will come. Like in Vrindavan, you will sometimes see devotees running to the bathroom. Where is the bathroom, please? No, no, Radha Shyam Sundar, go to the mandir. No, 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 no. there is a conflict here. He is a spiritual soul, has come to see Radha Shyam Sundar, but from the conditional side, an irresistible pushing is to go to the bathroom. This is in clear experimental language, the conflict which we have. I have given now a very calm example, something which does not upset us. Now I will give you a totally upsetting example. You have come to Krishna consciousness desiring the pleasure of the Lord, but then on the material platform you confront the weaknesses of human beings. You begin to talk about politics. You begin to talk about the many disquieting things which sometimes happen to an institution who wants to take care that the pure flow of Krishna consciousness is reaching conditioned souls. And you become engaged in dissatisfaction, in politicking, in becoming depressed and disillusioned, and you become spiritually not so weak. There's also a conflict which is happening between the pure spiritual nature and, you know, our minds, which cannot always keep the highest level of Krishna consciousness, but which get drawn down to the platform where we unfortunately might engage in Vaishnava aparat, where we unfortunately might become dark in our mind and become again attracted to material life and its different versions. Yes, it is ideal if our constitutional side and conditional side can go on parallel lines. But because we are in the material world, our mind and our body sometimes gets into the... But because we are in the material world, our mind and our body sometimes gets into the way of our constitutional life. And at that time, this is called a test. Haribol, how will you act now? How will you respond? How will you go about this? How will you maintain your constitutional side? This test is very, very important. It is important to Krishna. He wants to see how convinced we are, how we go about with difficulties which come from the material atmosphere and so on. And the Lord is extremely kind, because even if he sees that the devotee sometimes falls due to an obstacle which he is not strong enough to overcome, he considers him a sadhu. Lord says, even if someone, due to this conditional side, makes an abominable activity, abominable, that's quite heavy, he is still considered to be saintly if he is on the right path. This point is so intense that when Arjuna hears it, he thinks impossible. He really develops a doubt. It is described in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Tika, the explanation of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's a long discussion and I want to move on to another subject. Let me just summarize it. So Arjuna tells Krishna, Krishna, what will the people think if your people are doing abominable things and you think they are saints? Krishna gets very fiery. His eyes become red, it's described. Yes! Because they are moving in the right direction. And then in the next verse he says, very soon these dark spots will be cleaned because they are engaged on the path of bhakti. Take midanga and karatas, Arjuna. Don't be soft-spoken about this. Take midanga and karatas and declare that my devotee will never perish. This is so wonderful. This takes an account that yes, we will come off the path due to our conditional nature. This is to be expected. But it also says, glory, glory, glory to the devotee who continues on in the right direction. I would like to give you an example from modern navigation. Do you know that when you go in your airplane in America or Russia or from wherever you start, 90% of the time the airplane is off course or off track? Do you know? You're looking. No, you didn't know. Well, how did I reach here? You will ask. You reached here because although your airplane was moved by the winds which blow up there, the very heavy winds, the pilot took the care to put your airplane always back into on course. I hope it's the right English word. On course? On track? Huh? When the airplane moves in the sky, there are winds, very heavy winds. If he would just keep one course all the time, he would, you know, a flight Washington, Delhi, you might maybe arrive in Moscow. I don't know the landscape really, the points. Maybe Moscow is too long, but you would not arrive there. Only by a constant endeavor of the pilot to bring the plane back, wait, on the course, it will reach its destination. This is also how you must practice your Krishna consciousness. You have a conditional nature, which doesn't, you know, the body will be sick at times, the mind will be distracted by the enemies on the path, you will despair, there will be many things, you will be tested here, you're tested there, there are even songs about this. But you must learn the art of spiritual navigation, that is to always bring your plane back on course. Now, spiritual navigation means two things. It means to accept the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to give us two things which will help us to stay on the path of bhakti. He has come, vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshatam ekam purusham puranam. These are the two important words, vairagya and vidya. Detachment from things which don't foster Krishna consciousness, and vidya in Krishna consciousness means knowledge about Sri Krishna. These two things will help you to stay on course, to practice a little vairagya, a little detachment from things which are not good for your Krishna consciousness, and to develop your transcendental knowledge, your vidya, so that you know what is what. In Kali Yuga, these two things are extremely weak. In the Padma Purana, we find a description of Bhakti Devi, who had her two sons, Vairagya and Vidya, detachment and knowledge, and they were, I believe, lying on the bank of the Yamuna, and the two sons were old and they were slightly only breathing a little bit. They were just in the process of giving up their bodies. And then Narada Muni came and said, "Mother, you are crying for your two sons. What's wrong?" "Oh, it's Kali Yuga," said Bhakti. "Vairagya and Vidya are very weak, almost dying." So then Narada Muni went and he came to an assembly of the Kumaras, who told him the recipe. Hearing the Bhagavatam, that will help Vairagya and Vidya. So Narada Muni came back, recited the Bhagavatam to the two dying sons, and after hearing, they began to get strong and stout, and again could accompany Bhakti. This is a very important instruction for all of us. We need, if our bhakti should be strong, we need the support of Vairagya and Vidya, the two sons of bhakti, especially at this stage where we have to maneuver our plane back on course all the time. But really the most important point is to strengthen, you can strengthen, you can go also the other way by strengthening bhakti through hearing about Krishna Katha. These things always work both ways. Our vairagya and vidya is strengthened, but also our bhakti is strengthened by hearing more and more about Krishna. We are here in Vrindavan Dham. This is the place to hear about Krishna. You can be rest assured that Maya has also her table here, where you can hear many different kathas going on. You can hear the newest modern ISKCON scandal. I could tell you right now, it's really vile. You wouldn't believe your eyes. Computer printouts. I hope I don't lose my audience now. Everyone runs. What could it be? But you can also hear about Krishna. I very much liked yesterday how Dinabandhu came up and he described, "Oh, soon there will be Sharad Purnima, the moon, the full moonlight lit night, where the rasa dance takes place. Let us place a pot of sweet rice." You know, this is news. Krishna will come by here. This is a very interesting news. He will come here by here on the, and we have on the roof a sweet pot, sweet rice pot, he will eat it. That's what the Vrijbasis tell us. There are many, many spiritual news which we should hear about. If we like scandals, what's about this? Did you hear? He took sannyas. He left his wife when he was 24 years old. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haribol. So let us, especially here in Vrindavan Dham, no, not go to Maya's table, to Maya's attempts. Let us hear, to deviate us. Let us hear about Krishna, and you will see how your bhakti becomes strong, and your vairagya becomes strong, and your spiritual knowledge becomes strong. I remember in the old times when Prabhupada was still reading, still working on his Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was not published in other words, he came to one verse, it's in the Madhya Lila 25th chapter, in other words quite in the later section of the translation work. He had just translated this verse and given a purport, and immediately he asked his secretary to type it and send it to the devotees. However, become strong by hearing about Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If a devotee does not listen to this katha, he becomes weak and falls down from the spiritual platform. And in the purport, Prabhupada reminds us very urgently to please read his books so that we don't become weak in our spiritual life. You are in Vrindavan. You can leave Vrindavan. I mean, better not think now about leaving. Kartik just starts. But you can use this time to become spiritually strong by Shravanam Kirtanam. This month, which starts very soon, the Kartik month, is meant, it is set aside to please Lord Krishna and Ujeshwari, Srimati Radharani, the goddess, presiding goddess of this month. They will become very pleased if you just stand and hear. It pleases them. They will become happy. Vratas or vows which you might take should not be undertaken to make you happy. Oh, I want to do something so that I control my mind. Do something which pleases the senses of the divine couple in this month. And the best process really in this month is to hear to Shravanam, Kirtanam and then Smaranam, to remember. This will make you very strong. It will make you able to cope with the winds of change, or should we call storms of change, or should we better say hurricanes of change, or should we better say tornadoes of change, or should we better say blizzards of change, which are going on in ISKCON. Only a devotee who is very much rooted in spiritual strengths, who has his vairagya intact and his vidya intact, and overall who has strong bhakti shakti in his heart, will be able to survive the tests, which are very, very necessary. These tests have to come. It's not out of order the tests come on the spiritual path. With this, I want to end this part of the lecture and see if there are any questions which move your minds and hearts. Haribol. With this, I want to end this part of the lecture and see if there are any questions which move your minds and hearts, which we can try to answer. I have flattened you. Will Maya also test a devotee who is humble and considers himself to be like a blade of grass? If you are humble, if you take the humble position, the tests of Maya will be very easy for you to see. If you are not fixed in the humility, then you will be not able to see Maya's test so easy, and then it will be very difficult for you to do something. It's interesting how a different culture analyzes humility. The Chinese say humility is the vision of reality. It's interesting, isn't it? It's not from our Vaishnava dictionaries, but I thought it's interesting. A humble person, he will see very truly that he is a small soul who requires the shelter, the sharanagati of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at every moment. But someone who is puffed up will not see the reality. But everyone is tested. Prabhupada once said about this subject matter of test, if you want to remain a vagabond, vagabond? Vagabond is like a beggar on the street, you know, who just travels around and lives an irresponsible life. If you want to remain a vagabond, there is no test for you. But if you want to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, there must be test. Then how will you come over the test? Well, Prabhupada explains that to follow the orders of the spiritual master means to pass the test. You look so shocked. You thought you would enjoy in this movement, huh? Easy life. Getting good dhotis, good food. When I was in the Nitai Go World Traveling Sankirtan Party, many, many Indians joined us with the idea to marry an American wife later. That seemed to be a dream of the village boys. But no. This is serious. This means the ultimate journey. I'm not saying about you. I know that you are very serious. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Yes, who else? It's so nice to have questions and answers. It's a meaning of getting to know each other. It's something, and you are so silent today. Here.
Every day, I think that the Vishnu will recite the 10 aparadas, but immediately after leaving the class or after leaving the session, we commit the aparadas. What is the reason?
What is the reason why we commit aparadas, although knowing theoretically it's not good? All aparadas come from false ego. Therefore, Mahaprabhu gives the way to chant all this. Trinarapi sunichena. We have to counter our false egos because only then we will not make aparadas. Another source or breeding place of is inattention while chanting the holy name. This is called pramada, or craziness. You might ask the question, why is the Shastra so strong calling someone crazy who becomes inattentive while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? It's so innocent. It is so customary. Why this strong word, you're a crazy fellow if you become inattentive while chanting? Isn't that a little bit overreaction? And so on. Well, here is the explanation. By chanting Krishna's holy name, you're inviting him to come. Then if you don't give him attention, what is your character? Imagine you have a guest, you have invited him, but you don't give him any attention. He rings at your door, brrk, brrk, brrk. Then he may come over the fence into your sitting room. You invited me, I'm here. This is pathological. Pathological, pathological, I think. It means like this. Try to work on inattention, then you will be able to avoid the other aparas. Another tip for someone who wants to be attentive while chanting Hare Krishna mantra, he must stop talking glupost. Glupost is the Serbian word for nonsense. He must not talk unsinn. Unsinn is a German word for nonsense. He must not talk prajalpa. If you talk the whole day unrestricted talk, you will not be able to concentrate your mind when you chant. You have to talk spiritually. All right? I think we have come to a natural end. I thank you very much. All the best for your Kartik time. Spend it well. There's gold and jewels waiting for you on the dust-covered roads of Vrindavan. These jewels and gold can be obtained by anyone who spends the month of Kartik properly engaging himself in strengthening his Krishna consciousness by hearing. I wish you all the best. May you become rich in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Gaudiya ki jai, Gopremanandi Hari Bol.